Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbach Brewing Company.
Indeed we are. We're at Carbach, where tonight we will crown a champion of Rock the Mic. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. We'll get started in about half an hour. Let's go out to the HRP guest line, being joined by DJ Bieniemy, covers the Houston Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. Thank you, DJ, for taking a few minutes on this Friday evening. I saw you hand out awards to D'Amico Ryans and then C.J. Stroud this week. Can you tell us what that's all about?
So that's for the Pro Football Writers Association. D'Amico Ryans won Coach of the Year. C.J. won Good Guy Award, who... The award is basically about guys that are good to deal with in the media. So he won that nationally or from across the board with, you know, again, pro football writers. Because, again, people are voting. It's not like the AP, where AP is 50 voters, but it's a Pro Football Writers Association. You have people voting from, because every single NFL team has a D, and they have a Pro Football Writers Association chapter. So, you know, him winning that, and, you know, obviously you have some national guys, but him winning that is a pretty big honor. And then I also gave another one to John Metchie for, I forgot exactly what the name of the award is, but it's about overcoming adversity. So he won that award.
That's awesome.
DJ, I'm question for you. We were talking about it earlier on the show. You got this last preseason game. We've already had the scrimmage. Are there guys that could still earn a spot on the roster? Are there some guys that we are watching with a chance to make or break their potentially spot on the roster on Saturday? Or basically, do you think the decisions have already been made for now?
Yeah, I would say the majority of decisions have been made. I would say, probably like a couple, right, where a couple of, like, the difference between making, say, being the 53rd man and the 52nd man or 50th man. I think those are still up. But, again, I think the receiver room, it's pretty locked in. You know, again, I think it's still going to come down to the finances of Robert Woods. I think, you know, the top four, Noah Tank, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins. And you have, obviously, Robert, Metchie, Xavier Hutchinson. So three guys fighting with two spots there. I don't anticipate them having seven receivers. I'm not saying they can't, but I don't anticipate them doing that. And again, I think linebacker, that's a spot up for, available. Because when I did my 53-man projection for ESPN, I didn't have no he was making it. Because, again, like, there's people that can do special teams stuff. Because he's basically a special teams guy. And there's other guys that can do some of the stuff that he can do. But I'll also give you stuff on a defensive end at linebacker spot. But if he has a good game, maybe that changes that. You know, so I think as a cornerback like Miles Bryant, if he plays and he has a good game, that could be the difference between him being the backup nickel versus Desmond King being the backup nickel. And my projection, I had Miles Bryant making it and them cutting Desmond. So I think for the majority, like, top down is pretty set. But I think when it comes to that back end, some guys with a good performance could sway, you know.
Yeah, DJ Bieniemy joining us on the HRMP guest line. What you said last week's been sitting on me, too, with the new kickoff rules guys who are specialists, does that improve their value? Does it kind of take away from their value? I think it's more the latter than the former. In that scenario, who's your kicker? Like, who's returning kicks? Is it Tank?
That's a good one. So what's tricky when it comes to the projections, too, is, like, where do you fit Steven Sims in all this? Because he's been, like, the main kick returner. Brian Parmenter, but you could put Damian back there, and there I don't want to try to pronounce his last name, but you can put both of them back there it has take at punt return, you know, when it comes to Steven Sims. But because I think Steven Sims, if you cut him, he would make it through waiver wire, and then you just bring him back on practice squad. Yeah. So, but I think it's going to be Damian, because, again, we've seen Damian actually kick back to the house last season, I believe against the Browns, if my memory is correct. And you can have Tank at punt return, because then, like, you're going to get, so, you know, this year, you know, a lot of it is, you know, you want to get your playmakers the ball, right? Tank, obviously, still need his touches on the offensive end. But it's not, it might not be as frequent as it was last year. Now you have Stephon Diggs, Joe Mixon. Obviously, Nico had a big year. So if you can get him touches on punt returns, and we've seen how explosive he can be, you know, that's also another where you can keep him happy and still be able to get that explosive, dynamic ability of Tank on the field.
Yeah, I'm very protective of my Tank Dell because I'm a Cougar and I don't want him to get hurt. I'm very, very soft, DJ. You also kind of answered my next question, too, because I've been on the fence with this. It sounds like you have Damian Pierce on the 53.
Yeah. I'm not too sure like where why people think he's going to get cut. I think it'd be different if he wasn't the first running back off the bench. Mm-hmm. That'd be different. Like, I say, like, Cam Akers became that guy. And I think now, in my 53, I have Cam making it. Now, I've fully gotten on board with that. Because it feels like last game, right, you had no Mixon, so Damian started, and then Cam was the first one off the bench. To get, like, real carries. Obviously, Dare, is basically a third down back, and, you know, yeah, he got in there too. But with Damian Pierce, it's just hard for me to believe that they're going to cut him, man, because when we asked Nico Lyons about, you know, how to get Damian going, he said, you know, we're going to get more opportunities and guys got to block it better. Where last year when they were talking about it, it was more like, we just got to continue to follow on our tracks and run our running path so then we can continue to start to break some runs, right? So the messaging is a lot different where, he did say that there's one run where Damian could have followed, you know, kind of been a little more patient, but he also said, like, we got to block it better for him overall. So I don't think they could cut him knowing that he hasn't had optimal blocking. Because everybody looks at, like, what the second, third, fourth, fifth string running backs do in preseason, but, like, again, like, they're going against backup defensive tackles, third string defensive tackles, where, like, it's just the talent gap just, you know, drops off from the starters, you know. So that's kind of where I'm at there, you know. And again, he hasn't run with the starting offensive line, but the whole entire practice. The Steelers game, no Shaq, no Titus, no Laramie. Now, I will admit, Cam has better vision than him. I just can't imagine them cutting Damian Pierce for what? Just so you can keep Juwan Jordan on the roster? Like, I don't get what's the point of cutting Damian Pierce for, like, who? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at.
DJ, how important and how much are we looking at the linebacker spot depending on the health of Christian Harris? Because we were talking about the fact that maybe they had the 53 set, but I'm in firm belief that they're still looking and they might be looking at linebacker more than anything else, because you don't know what you don't know about Christian Harris to this point, because you really haven't seen him, and you're getting closer and closer to week one, to where is his, how do you feel? Is he going to be ready for week one? If not, how long will it take? And do you think that even though they've got their internal 53, that they might be looking for linebacker depth?
I would say with Christian Harris, I think they're going to be very cautious with him and take it slow. Because I think the fact that when he came back, he couldn't make it to a practice. Well, actually, he couldn't make it to team drill. So, like, obviously, like, re-aggravating his injury seems like, you know, now they're going to really be cautious with him and protect him because, you know, they're about the long haul. And they want to have their best roster at the end of the season, not for week one. So I do think that that linebacker spot guys have a great shot at fighting for a spot. Whether it's Phillips or whether it's Hewitt, you know, like, these guys have a good shot to, like, continue to fight for a spot, you know, or, you know, Jacob Phillips. No, that was one. I was super close to Jacob Phillips. So, because that one spot is up for grabs, you know what I mean? So, I think that at first I didn't think Jamal Hill was going to make it, then with the injury, I'm like, all right, I can see it. And I think he's a starter on some of the special team stuff, right? Like, when they do kickoff or some punt stuff, he's out there. So I think that Jamal Hill for sure is going to be on. So I think probably some of the other guys, maybe one of the Phillips, that if they have a good showing, they could potentially sneak their way on. But, you know, some of the linebacker guys, though, I will admit, like, you can cut them and they'll make it to free agency or free agent wire, and then you'll be able to put them on your practice squad. That I'm pretty confident in.
Yeah. Great stuff, DJ. We appreciate it. We know that you're going to be working like a madman these next 4 days. Better you than us, but we'll be following along.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
You got it. DJ Bienemy, who covers the Houston Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. He's going to have to have both those phones working.
Yeah.
Up until Tuesday's cutdown day. 3 o'clock deadline, too. And we'll be all over that, of course, on Tuesday. Although, I think we're going to start to see some stuff coming out after the game. Like, they're going to leak some stuff. They're going to be doing favors to these players. Hey, you know, this guy's not going to make the Texans 53. The agents will get it, and you know, can leak it and all that.
You saw a little precursor with some of the moves that are already being made. It started out with kickers. Now it's getting to linebackers. Teams are looking to try and get ahead of the curve and try and do some things to upgrade their rosters. I think that you're going to see teams that want to kind of get ahead of the pecking order and try, and they didn't even know that a team might be considering and going, hey, they got a surplus. I need to get ahead of the waiver line. I need to get something that I really need.
15 minutes away from starting our Rock the Mic finals. Get on out to Carbach. That way you can watch all the finalists do their thing. We'll be on the air until 7 o'clock. Show goes on until 7 o'clock. Russell Wilson named quarterback one in Pittsburgh. How long does that last? I have a theory on this AU thing, and Yordan Alvarez has been scratched from the Houston Astros lineup. Why? What does it mean? That's next. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for Vanderford Air. You can go to VanderfordAir.com right now and see all the services they offer, because they do plumbing. They do in-house humidifying systems that go with your AC. They do water heaters. They do so much more. But the biggest thing right now is, we know priority one is air conditioning. Your HVAC AC units are at top priority. You got to keep them running, and you got to make sure if they go down, they get fixed quickly, and they get fixed the right way the first time. That's why I'm telling you about Vanderford Air, because you need to lock this number into your phone right now. 281-557-COOL, and you are going to use it, because 281-557-COOL, they can come to you, show you what they can do. They'll look at your current system and let you know if it's good, if it's up to snuff, if it like could be faltering, there might be something wrong, so that you can get out ahead of it. And or if something goes wrong, within you calling them 24 hours later or less, they're going to be there to see you and tell you what they can do. That means no waiting for days on end, no back order lines that you get to the back of. You call them within 24 hours, they're out to see you, and it's because they're great at what they do. The fact is that they are Vanderford Air, and they are guaranteeing everything that they do. 100% satisfaction guarantee on the work as well, whether they replace a part or put in a whole new system. It is satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That means the work that their people do, the part and or the system, the fact that it's going to do exactly what they tell you it's going to do temperature-wise, they put it in writing, they give it to you ahead of the job, and then everything is backed up 100% or your money back. They are phenomenal. That's why I'm telling you, lock it in your phone. 281-557-COOL or VanderfordAir.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbach Brewing Company.
So Yordan Alvarez has been scratched from today's lineup. He was in the lineup, designated hitter. McTaggart tweeting 22 minutes ago, Yordan Alvarez scratched with neck stiffness.
Ooh, at least it wasn't discomfort.
I mean, at least.
You say that, but they put that up on the ESPN headline discomfort that we just saw, neck discomfort.
He's going to need Tommy John in a week and a half.
Let the jokes begin. I mean, did he sleep wrong? Is it a pillow? Is it discomfort?
Does he have neck gremlins?
Gremlins, I mean.
Where are these guys sleeping on the road? On rocks? Like, where are they?
That's a loaded
Christian
question.
Probably
at a Best Western. Are the Astros staying at Best Westerns on the road?
Probably.
Well, they leave the light on for them, but they don't give them the right pillows.
Dude, like, everybody gets hurt sleeping in hotels on the road. Christian Javier, Alex Bregman, Yordan Alvarez. Although Yordan Alvarez likes to get hurt on the road.
You have had that really theory does. In the past that he takes
he
the
likes
ra- but the Orioles series wouldn't be the series where he would randomly take off.
No, he usually gets hurt on the road against lesser competition.
Right.
Yeah, usually.
He also hits better on the road.
I know. He does. Yeah, so Yordan Alvarez has been scratched with neck soreness. We'll see how long he's out and if he needs Tommy John in a couple of weeks. Alex Bregman moves to DH, so you know if you now have your on the DH, then Bregman can be your DH. So he's now your DH. Whitcomb's at third. Yeah, knock on wood. This has been the most stressful season for a first-place team in Major League Baseball history.
No question. It literally, with every passing day, becomes more and more amazing that they are sitting where they are at this point in the season. With all that they've had to overcome, with everything that's been thrown at them, and they still find a way. I mean, I felt great because Bregman was going to play third tonight, so I was not having anything to worry about. Now he's not playing third. Now I would feel great if Yordan's in the lineup tomorrow.
Yeah. I would say this, though, and I don't know how you guys will feel about this. Obviously, this team has proven pretty much anybody can be injured. Anyone can miss a game, and the train just keeps rolling outside of April and May. This one feels like if this one goes wrong with Yordan, though, that's the one they can't come back from. I don't see a scenario where if the Yordan thing, we joke about it, but neck discomfort becomes Tommy John, becomes he misses the season. I don't think this is the one they could come back from.
The curious part of that, though, Brian, is because you're already dealing with Tucker. And so the gap could be too great to overcome. If Tucker was back and then you lost Yordan with all that they've already done, there would at least be a chance. But you're right. I mean, considering what we don't know about Tucker and what we're hoping for, this is the one that could just finally be the last one, the one they couldn't overcome.
You have to win a lot of 3-1 games. It's plausible. But, yeah, the odds of the Astros winning it all would take a big hit if Yordan Alvarez missed the rest of the year. Now, do I think that's the case? No. Like, I mean, it's neck soreness. He was in the lineup, then he wasn't. So it's not like there was this massive injury, right?
It does make you question the timeline, though.
Yeah.
Because if this is neck soreness, okay, did it become sore between when the lineup was announced and when McTaggart announced he's out?
He was obviously fine last night, right?
Right, or was he dealing with it in the morning and thought it was no big deal, and all of a sudden they got up to game time and now it's worse? Like, the timeline is odd with this one.
See, I think the timeline's actually beneficial to it not being serious. Like,
sure,
if it was serious, he's never in the lineup. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
But the fact that he was in the lineup, maybe he woke up with a sore neck and he thought it was going to be, like, fine after he got activated and, you know, warmed up. And then it's like, hey, this doesn't feel great. Hey, you know, Joe, we have a 5.5 game lead. My neck isn't great. Can I get the night off?
Yeah, or maybe he was taking early swings or just in the cage or doing something and he felt something. They're like, let's not.
See, that would be worse.
That would be worse, though,
that
Joel.
Would be worse.
That would be worse.
But so that my question then would be, do you think it happened before or after BP today?
No clue.
I mean, if you were to guess.
I have no clue.
Look, the fact that it didn't happen, he was fine last night, that's good. But then, did he wake up and something didn't feel right? But then
I just don't think they would have gone that long. If, like, he woke up, and let's go with the Bregman thing, slept wrong. Right, he wouldn't be the lineup because they would have had an adequate amount of time to figure that out before Espada put out the initial lineup.
Either it's really, really minor and he slept on it funny, he doesn't want to give it a go, or he aggravated it in batting practice after the lineup was out.
If
Which
I had
the
to
former
guess,
would be better, the latter would be worse.
If I had to guess, I'd put my money on latter.
5535, Yordan is a soft, bad word boy. Ocho, Yordan is soft man. Justin Verlander missed 53 games with neck discomfort. I just died a little on the inside with the Yordan news. 53 games for Verlander, and that was the shortest of the two neck discomfort guys.
Well, at least
because Christian Javier had neck discomfort.
At least Yordan's not pitching.
It's the death stretch with no days off. Joe will rest guys as much as allowed to keep the lead. They rested Pena yesterday.
No chance.
Yes, but Yordan was in the lineup today and then was scratched. So it's a little different than like a design day off. It's a little different than a scheduled day off. He was in the lineup and then he was scratched.
That's
scratched usually means something happened or he can't play through it because of something that was already there.
Yeah, that's why I think something happened today, which is a little worrisome for me. That's why I hope to God by any means necessary, I hope he's in the lineup tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully it's nothing serious, and they'll tell us that whenever. I mean, Espada will be asked about it after the game. Russell Wilson, quarterback one in Pittsburgh. How long do you think he'll be quarterback one in Pittsburgh?
Over-under is 4 weeks.
Okay, I'll go over.
I would
on
take
that.
The over.
I'll go over. Apparently they hate Fields.
Really?
Yeah, they don't like Fields, apparently.
Tomlin was singing his praises about best athlete he's ever seen and the things that he can do and things like that.
It screams to me that he's not a quarterback.
Well, maybe. I don't.
Maybe they want to use him like a Cordell Stewart, like a slash.
I just don't believe in Russell Wilson.
I don't think he's the regular everyday quarterback.
I think they're just really screwed at the quarterback position.
Probably right.
And maybe you're right there. Wilson's so bad after four games. It's like, okay, we don't like Fields, but let's see what we got.
Yeah, I mean, a younger guy that maybe you at least give him the hope that maybe you can do some things to try and find something in him. But of the two guys, the upside potential at all, anything at all, is Fields. if Russ sucks after a month.
Yeah. I think the problem is Mike Tomlin never has a losing record. And if they don't have a losing record, they're not making the desperate change to Justin Fields.
I don't know about that. I don't know how much Tomlin cares about that. I think Tomlin would do
which
in the best
interest. If they're in the playoff hunt, I don't think they're changing course is what I'm saying.
Oh, right.
No.
Well, but he's winning games, but I don't know if he's
going to win games. That's what I'm saying. The Steelers always find a way to at least 9-10 wins.
But, yeah, maybe it's more in addition to what you're saying than, like, counterpoint. I don't think that Tomlin would have a problem embracing the suck for a quarterback, though.
Right. But I just don't think they're going
to
get
contract,
there.
I mean, for his longevity and stuff like that, he's got to be thinking that way.
I think Tomlin would trade. If they're not in the hunt after 8 weeks in the season, I don't think Tomlin would have any issue putting his never had a losing season in his career on the line or throw it away for tanking and making sure they get a good quarterback.
No, I agree with that. Yep. Yeah.
I had an epiphany on the Ayuk situation. Maybe there's more correlation with the Commanders than I thought. Ricky Pearsall has a messed up shoulder. Apparently they asked the Commanders for Scary Terry. Obviously didn't happen.
That's not
they
happen.
Traded Dotson. What if they want Luke McCaffrey for Christian McCaffrey's sake?
Throw him in.
Huh? Yeah,
even yesterday we were talking about it. I had said that, you know, the Commanders were back in to try and get him. I don't know what they want in return, but, I mean, it's getting to, like, do or die time where they need to establish their roster and their wide receiver room no matter what they're going to do.
I certainly wouldn't let Luke McCaffrey stand in the way. Like, if Luke McCaffrey is the one piece that is either we make the steal or we don't, send him along to San Francisco.
No doubt.
It'd be hilarious. All right, that's enough of us. That's enough of us. Let's get to what everybody's been waiting for, the Rock the Mic Finals. We get it started next with the president of Houston Sports State of the Union podcast, Rock the Mic Finals, coming your way on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbot Brewing Company.
Welcome back in. It's time to start Rock the Mic, the finals, being joined first by the Houston Sports State of the Union podcast, Nick Stevenson, host of Houston Sports State of the Union. He doesn't claim to be some insider or expert when it comes to X's and O's. Neither do I. His podcast is for the fan and by the fan. Nick is now a writer for SB Nation's The Dream Shake, and you can find him on Twitter at HSSTU Podcast. HSTU Podcast.
Two S's.
Two S's.
Yeah.
Nick, thanks so much. You're a finalist. Tell us a little about yourself.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. First of all, I want to say this is dope. Man, this is really dope. You guys reaching out to the Houston podcasters. Some really good guys in this group, so I'm proud to be amongst them. Like I said, man, I'm just a fan. I know I had the gall to call myself the president of Houston Sports Nation, but I don't do that because I believe I'm better than the fans. I'm one of you guys. And I challenge anybody to say they care more than I do, but I'm not sitting here pretending that I know more than everybody else, man. I'm one of you guys, and I want to represent you guys the right way.
Good to have you, Nick. And because you said challenge, I'm here to do that. So there, we're going to start with that. You got a Texans hat on, so we'll go right to the Rockets question. As a fan that knows a little bit, feels like he has a little bit more than the average Rockets fan, break down the roster for me. What are you trying to do? What are you looking at, Shengun? What are you looking at, Jalen? What do you think they should do as a franchise with two guys coming up quick on contracts?
All right, man. So I am a very patient Houston sports fan, and I know that might be rare, but I am one of the few guys who really, really believes in Jalen Green. I'm looking for him to have a breakout season. I actually wrote my first article in the Dream Shake comparing Jalen Green's first three seasons to Kobe Bryant's first three seasons. Now, immediately, I got dumped on.
I have a cough button. Okay, go ahead.
However, just hear me out. I'm not saying Jalen Green is Kobe Bryant or he's going to be Kobe Bryant. And they played in two different eras, so it's always tough when you're comparing these players. But I lived in Los Angeles when Kobe Bryant was going into his third year. Fans were frustrated with him. He was supposed to be the Magic Johnson to Shaq's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and he was not what they thought he was going to be. So one thing they did never do, though, is they never suggested that he should be traded. And I think it's insane that people have suggested that Jalen Green, who just turned 22, should be traded at this point. Now, this is a big year for him, and I agree with what Rafael Stone did by not giving him the extension. I think he needs to prove it. And I'm 100% on board with that. I think he's going to ball out this season, and I think he's going to become a restricted free agent. I think somebody will offer him the max, and the Rockets will have to match that.
All right.
Bring him back.
Very good. I like hot takes. I like hot takes, and then you defend them. Don't worry about pleasing Joel. We never worry about that.
Never. 100%.
We give the best takes that we have, and then we defend 100%. The takes, even if Blankers doesn't like it. DeMeco Ryans, head coach of the NFL, the Houston Texans, the local team in this city. Had a great first year, led them back to prominence, into the postseason, won the AFC South. Where does DeMeco Ryans stack up amongst the best coaches in the NFL?
Okay, well, I think it's still early, but I've actually had this debate in the AFC South Warzone Facebook group. Shout out to them. Because they're saying that Doug Peterson is the best coach in the division, and I understand he won a Super Bowl. He beat Tom Brady. That was, what, a decade ago almost? I think this season, DeMeco Ryans, he proved when he was in San Francisco and here that he can make players better. I don't know. Did you guys know Brian Cashman was going to be as good as he was last year? I know I didn't. And I feel really comfortable with what he's going to do with the staff this season. With the cornerbacks, Kamari Lassiter, I actually wanted them to get Kool-Aid McKinstry. It felt like to me at the time that maybe Kamari Lassiter was kind of their last resort because of the two guys that went ahead of him. But I believe in DeMeco Ryans. So if he says that's the guy he wanted and that's the guy he believes in, I have no reason not to trust him at this point. But I put him, as far as the young coaches, I put him right up there with, you know, the Sean McVays, the Shane Steichens. I put him right up there, man. And what he's done with this team in such a short amount of time, it's incredible, man. And the fact that he's a homegrown guy, the fact that he played here, it's great, man. And every Houston Texans fan should be super excited about this season, man.
All right, Nick, we know what we got with the Astros. We know we've had a surplus of injuries after starting the season with a surplus of starting pitching. We've seen some really good starting pitchers that have shown their wares throughout the season to say that they're formidable. We know what Justin Verlander brings to the table. You make the playoffs. You're setting up your rotation. Who's your ace, and how are you setting up the rotation for the Houston Astros?
I mean, the ace right now has to be Fromber. I mean, in his last eight starts, he's been killing it, man. He's got a sub-2 ERA. He's striking out people like crazy. That curveball is back. And I got to give credit to Bill Murphy, the pitching coach, man. When Brent Strom left, I didn't think anything really of this staff as far as pitching goes. That's why when they brought in Kikuchi and he had a +5 ERA, I'm like, Brent Strom's not in this building. He's not fixing that. And what he's done with his pitching staff, I mean, you got Hunter Brown in his last five games. He's got a sub-2 ERA. And even, you know, Eric Eddie was great last night, and I know his ERA is high, but he's striking people out like crazy. So I want to give credit to the staff and to Joe Espada. I know there's people in this building who wanted that dude fired like 2 months ago. And that's one of the reasons, like I said, I'm a calm and patient Houston sports fan. I was telling my audience, like, let's just pump the brakes, give this guy some time. And if I had to set it, it'd have to be Fromber as your ace, man. I would probably go JV next, and then Kikuchi. I mean, as long as he keeps up doing what he's doing, I don't see why he shouldn't be the third starter going into a playoff series.
Did the Astros win the Yusei Kikuchi trade?
I'm going to say if he comes back. And this is the one thing that scares me. I'm afraid he's going to ball out this season, and then they're going to pay him an exorbitant amount next season, and he's going to fall off a cliff kind of like Montero did. That is my only concern. But if you don't bring him back, it's going to be really hard to say that you won the trade. Unless they win the World Series, right? If they win the World Series and you say, hey, Dana Brown, you did what you were supposed to do.
But isn't the trade, whether you, regardless of what happens next season, the trade was made for this season alone because 100%. You gave up three guys that have the potential for playing a long period of time for another organization.
And that's going to hurt. That's why this season has to be, I say at minimum, you lost it if you don't make it back to the ALCS. And if you win a World Series, then I say it was well worth it, man, no matter what happens with those other guys.
You mentioned Jalen Green earlier and had
That's
high
my
praise.
Guy. That's my guy.
Pick really one, your guy.
One rocket that you have to build around to try to bring a championship to Houston.
This is what I've said about Jalen Green. When he reaches his max potential, there's nobody on this roster that is capable of doing what he does. And we've seen what he does when he's at his best. And I'm telling you, if he reaches his max potential, he's in the conversation with the Anthony Edwards, with the Shea Gilgeous-Alexanders, even with the Victor Wembanyamas. If he reaches that, now that's going to be up to him. And this year, I'm really, really, really rooting for him to do so. I got a lot of subscribers to the Dream Shake who think I'm crazy. But listen, man, I'm a very patient fan. Like I said, he's 22 years old. What were you doing when you were 22? I know me personally, I was working at the mall selling fine jewelry and making some bad career decisions at the time. So I'm not going to sit here and judge a 22-year-old kid who's not at the top of his craft. Now, I understand there's a lot of money in this game, there's a lot that goes into it, but it's hard for me to still. I love Şengün, man, and I think him and Jalen together. That's the unfortunate part about last season is they were just kind of starting to figure out how to cook together when Alpi got hurt. But if they can figure it out together, there's nobody on this team. Not even Cam, as athletic as Cam is, nobody on this team can do what Jalen Green can do.
We know the Texans had a really good year last year. We know the fact that they turned it around a lot sooner than a lot of people thought they could. Now a lot of people are getting on the hype train. They're believing everything and so much more. When you look at this Texans team this season and you look at what the ceiling could be and then what the basement looks like, where do you see how high can this team go and then how low can they go?
Yeah, my best case scenario when I did a show predicting like I know anything, but I predicted – best case scenario, they go 12-5. I think worst case scenario, maybe they win 9 or 10 games. I think they're just too talented to completely fall off. I think they're going to win the division. I know that the division has improved, but I like to go with what I know versus what I think might happen. So I 100%, Houston Texans fans, you should be excited about this team. Like, don't plan the parade yet, but you have every right to be excited. Considering what we were dealing with in years past, absolutely. You should be hyped, talk trash to your Cowboys friends and family. I'm 100% on board with being excited about this team. But like I said, I'm ready to see it on the field, man. I just can't wait for real football. I'm tired of them pretending to play football.
Don't sound like an Easterby fan.
Absolutely not. As a matter of, oh, man, that could be a whole other segment, man. We might have to do a whole show together.
President Nick Stevenson of Houston Sports State of the Union.
Thank you guys
Find
so
him
much.
On Twitter at HSSTU Podcast. What do we think?
Hey, Sean, I love you.
All right, we keep it rolling next. Moon Stamp Sports will be the next podcast finalist of Rock the Mic. The Red Bull Show Run coming to Houston September 7th. Cannot wait. Love me some F1. And I'm fired up about the Red Bull Show Run. And it's free. Free to everybody from all ages. Thanks to Red Bull. Red Bull is bringing F1 to Houston September 7th in the heart of downtown Houston at Discovery Green. See championship winning F1 cars doing sprints, burnouts, much, much more around Discovery Green on a custom-built racetrack. First time ever in the U.S. where you witness dual appearances with two championship winning F1 cars. In addition to that, Explore the Red Bull Fan Zone that features local food vendors, the Oracle Red Bull Racing merch, racing simulators, and free activities for racing fans of all ages that will introduce you to the exciting world of Red Bull. Single-day admission-free event, open to everyone. Tickets not required. Bring the family for a day of F1 fun. All day, September 7th, downtown Houston, Discovery Green. To learn more, visit redbull.com/showrunhouston. That's redbull.com/showrunhouston.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
The Killer Bees are broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbach Brewing Company. Now back to Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Broadcasting from Carbach for the finals of Rock the Mic, where tonight we crown a champion. Next up, Moon Stamp Sports. Jordan Smith and Brian Wisniewski, the host of Moon Stamp Sports. Brian, co-founder of Moon Stamp Sports and a small-time blogger and streamer, lifelong Houstonian and Notre Dame fan. Jordan is also on the podcast and pretend he's Hunter S. Thompson on page 2. Read his writings at moonstampsports.com. Moon Stamp Sports is the brainchild of two high school friends who wanted a creative outlet to write and talk about sports. Started as a blog and now includes a podcast. You can find them on Twitter at Moon Stamp Sports. So whoever wants to start, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, yeah. That said, Moon Stamp Sports is the brainchild of two high school friends. We started as a blog. We were a blog for about a year. Started last August. Became a podcast this past July. We have about 7 episodes out right now. We're pretty generalist. We talk about Houston sports sometimes, but pretty generalist in what we talk about. Last week we talked about the Craig Jones Invitational. Just fun stuff like that. So just two guys really having fun right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still finding our feet, I think, but we try and cover everything, but like you said, we're Houston-centric. Normally, we started a podcast. We started every podcast with Astros Talk, just because that's the one that's going right now. And we wanted to start in July, because it's the dead season of sports before we got into football.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to let you guys work this out. I'm not going to say who the question's to. I want you guys to create the dialogue and kind of get into the zone with this. But you're wearing a Texans shirt. I know you guys talk about other things, but as it relates to the Houston Texans, obviously Stephon Diggs is on the topic, at top of everybody's mind when we're talking about topics with the Texans. Break down for me Stephon Diggs, how you see him fitting in with this Houston Texans team, and how you see it playing out throughout the season.
I mean, I think he's one of the best receivers in the league. The big bad part about him that he's had trouble at his last part in Minnesota and his last part in the Bills was that he brought a little bit of drama, and he was a cancer in the locker room. Josh Allen, I think, was quoted saying, I'm not going to miss him when asked about him, his departure, but he's a very, very skilled player, and if he can keep that stuff out of there, it's one of the best passing attacks in the league. I mean, he's a great compliment to Dell. He's a great compliment to Nico Collins.
Yeah, I mean, we have one of the best, in my opinion, receiving corps in the nation right now. C.J. Stroud coming into second year. Needed this maturity from Stephon Diggs. I love Tank Dell. I'm a UH guy. Watch Tank Dell at UH. I love a speedy guy, a guy who just cuts, you guys who runs. We make the joke sometimes that he can just throw it down the field and say, the George Bush, just watch his drive. We're hoping he continues doing that this season.
Yeah, go Cougs, by the way.
Go Cougs, yes, sir.
Where does C.J. Stroud rank amongst the top quarterbacks in the NFL?
Top five. I'd say top five.
Who do you have ahead of him?
Patrick Mahomes, say Lamar Jackson just because of his feet work, and Lamar Jackson's becoming a better passer every single year. Still Josh Allen, even though he's not going to have the weapons this year. In fact, that's not going to be a very fun offense to watch besides him. Justin Herbert, probably not. I think you might have just told me that he's number four, actually.
Top five. Close enough.
Yeah, I mean, top five. Again, this is his sophomore season. I expect him to be the same, but at the same time, he can come in and have a weird year. So top five right now, probably go with that same list. Maybe knows Tua's greater than him, or, I don't know, Kirk Cousins for some reason. But he's probably top five somewhere in there.
So you guys say you open up every show with your Astros talk. We know it's Astros top of mind right now, top of the division. But we know there's a long way to go still, 30-some games between now and the end of the regular season. If you were to pinpoint the one thing that is a concern for you that could blow this whole thing up, the one thing that still concerns you as you head down the stretch, what would that one thing be?
Not winning games you're supposed to win, especially like teams against the White Sox where we dropped that first game. Yeah, sure, we rallied and won the series, but having off games like that, or even the last two in Boston where our bats disappeared, we couldn't give any support to Justin Verlander and his return. It's just winning games that we're supposed to win is the biggest concern.
I mean, currently this team is made up of minor leaguers, misfits, and maimed. So hopefully we can make it through the season right now with some sort of win percentage. I think I made the joke last week that the Chicago White Sox are a Greek mythological riddler who asked the question, how do we win a game, which is somewhat of a paradox because you teach them by winning the game or losing the game. So who knows? I mean, this team historically sometimes, turned off their bats for some reason. So we're just hoping that down the stretch, these last 30 games, we can make that happen, get into the AL West winners, knock on wood right here, this whatever this is, and then they toss on the AL as well.
Sleeping seems to be a problem for the Astros. Whether it's Javier's neck discomfort, Verlander's neck discomfort, Alex Bregman's elbow with gremlins, Yordan Alvarez scratched today with neck discomfort. How do you fix the Astros' sleeping woes?
Talk to Mattress Mac. I mean, you got to start there, right? Got to start with the mattresses, make sure they're sleeping on the right stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, as other teams are cursed, maybe we're cursed by Carlos Correa and his masseuse gate. So maybe that's what's happening. We're still dealing with that. But, yeah, like you said, Mattress Mac or someone along those lines who can give him a Tempur-Pedic mattress, hopefully.
Let's switch gears a little bit, talk a little bit about the Rockets. Everybody's really encouraged by the young roster that the Rockets have put together. As you guys look at this roster and you look at the coaching staff and you look at the expectations for this team going into this season, who do you expect to take that big jump of all the young players they have on this roster? Because we know that there's a lot of people that have talked about the two guys with contracts coming up. We also know there's a heck of a lot of talent right below those guys too.
So I'm going to talk about something I know a lot about, which is college basketball. Big UH college basketball fan, try to go as many games as possible. I watched Reed Sheppard this past season in the SEC. SEC known for scoring high games in basketball. He was the, I think, fifth most efficient player in all of college basketball, according to Evan Maya last season. Not really defensive. What he does is he gets steals. On the perimeter, he can defend. He really can't go into the paint at all, as we saw during preseason or the summer league. But I'm hoping that 3 percentage, because during the summer league, what would happen? happen is you'd have guys who were, you know, let's say what happened right there. They're a little bit worse than him, all right? So they're able to double him, triple him. So he can't really hit those threes, can't hit those strong threes. Again, coming to the NBA, maybe some issues with, you know, how far away the 2 feet change on the three-point line, but hopefully hitting those mid-range. I'm big on him. I love when we drafted him. Every time someone says, oh, wow, who knew Richard Shepard was going to be this good? I think that scene from I actually can't say that. The Inglourious movie where they had the three things up, and it's like, okay, you didn't watch him in the SEC, clearly. I'm big on him this season.
Amon Thompson. I really liked him last year, and it looked like in scrimmages he's really been looking out or practicing a step-back three, which would be just a cherry on his team or on his game.
You mentioned college basketball, which is near and dear to my heart. Why is the University of Houston the greatest university that exists?
I mean, well, listen, let's talk about Fly Slam and Jam. Let's talk about Renew Couture right now. Let's talk about the Samson family. All hail our Samson family. Well, who's our new Eddie Nunes. We have a new Eddie Nunes. He got Richard Shapiro. He got what?
Patino.
Patino, yeah, Richard Patino.
They look alike, I think.
They look, yeah, but I love this team. When Jamal Shedd got drafted, I stood up and cheered right there. I'm going to have to, like, watch the Raptors now. Don't sue me, I have to watch the Mavericks because Quentin Grimes is in there now. So I love it. The best team in the world. I think we play hard ball. We play hard defense. Sometimes the shots don't fall, but you know what? You have the offensive or the rebound for that. So I love this team. I when they won the Big 12, I cheered my head off. When we lost to Iowa State, I, you know, cried a little bit. And I hate Duke University now. So that's kind of where I'm at. So love this team. Go Cougs.
Go Cougs. You have an answer for that?
No, I'm
as a non-U of H fan. Yeah, well, you're supposed to fake it.
All right. So we'll look at that. We'll switch gears a little bit back to the Astros. You're looking at some guys that have some contracts coming up. You're looking at an Alex Bregman. You're looking at a Kyle Tucker. You know that these situations are coming up for this team, even a Framber Valdez. If you're running the Astros right now from a long-term perspective, which of any of the three guys are you locking up, and what are the contract terms looking like?
Well, it doesn't look like Tucker's going to stay. There were some reports that came out earlier that they had talked about $300-plus million contracts, and he was just not talking about it. Like, no, we'll talk about it later. No, we'll talk about it later. It's normally a sign of, I'm going to test free agency. I think Bregman's the guy we have to go after. He's a great third baseman. He does take a while to wake up. He does it every year. It took longer this year, but now he's one of the hottest, before his sleeping injury, one of the hottest hitters in the game. And on top of that, he kind of stepped up in the Correa role. He's the locker room swag guy, the confident guy, the guy that will talk people down, calm everything down, and get them rolling. He's the general out there. While Altuve's the face, it's Bregman's ship.
Yeah, I mean, not to take this back to UH real quickly, but I feel like Kyle Tucker's in his Ed Oliver, Major Apple White saga, where he's going to sit out for the rest of the season possibly. We saw him bunny hopping on the field like it's a 50s dance. I don't expect him to come back, honestly. That's Jordan future casting right now. Like you said, we've talked about how much we love Alex Bregman, how great he is. He has a je ne sais quoi. You want from a guy in the clubhouse. You know, maybe he needs someone to sleep better. But right now, if he's playing as hot as he was, you know, for half the season before he got injured, sign that man all day.
Did someone slide you a cheat code that said if you mentioned U of H a lot, that this guy might roll
over? I went to UH for 8 years, 5 years of undergrad, 3 years of law school. I love that school to death. I've been there before. Kelvin Sampson's first year was my first year on campus. I went to the games. No one was there. You know, it was like three people and a dog. You know, I was there for the Tom Herman era. I was there for the Major Applewhite era. I was there for the, you know, the man who must not be named, who's gone now era, who ran the same three plays every day or every game. So love UH. Happy, you know. Probably my favorite school in the world for a good reason.
I took the scenic route, too. To back to the Astros with the contracts. Dana Brown, pre-Dana Brown, Astros front office, who is the GM? Who knows? Bagwell, Crane, who knows who is the GM? How much do you trust the Astros front office?
Well, we actually had a segment where when we first traded for Kikuchi, where we're like, what are we doing? We're doing a one-year rental for a 33-year-old pitcher with a 4-plus ERA. Like, this is such a waste. Like, we just traded away maybe the future in Lopredifo and Bloss, and then Kikuchi shut us up real quick. Mm-hmm. And we actually had an apology being like, all right, Bagwell, Dano, our bad. Like, maybe you guys do know what you're doing. So I trust them, but especially if we win this year. If we win this year, whatever you want to do forever.
Quick background, I think Moneyball is the best book to ever be written, best movie to ever be made. So when Jeff Bagwell comes out and says, I hate computers, I get very angry. With that said, we've had a Kikuchi apology tour. I've said I'll shave it into a goatee into my face to apologize to Bagwell at this point. You know, who knows down the road? Apparently we have the worst minor league system in the entire MLB. But right now, you know, maybe the Abreu signing wasn't that great. We have, you know, we've repaid for that. We have $53 million in cap space that is gone. But right now, after this Kikuchi trade, it's a big apology tour for us.
All right, Skip, just specific to the teams. You guys say you're fans. It's a great sports town. Mm-hmm. Give me the best and the worst case scenarios of why it's great and why it's bad to be a Houston sports fan right now.
Okay. Worst case is getting to the games because traffic. If you ever go to a UH basketball game, it starts at 6 o'clock. No one's there because you can't get there. You know, maybe at the same time, I think there was a joke I made that we had a curse on this town of the Astros winning, everyone else was going to suck for the rest, you know, the 10 years. Maybe that's still there. Who knows? Best part, I mean, I made a pact with myself that I'm not allowed to complain about sports for about 5 to 10 years because our teams are killing it right now. C.J. Stroud is the savior of this town right now. He cast out the demons of the guy who must not be named. We have the Astros killing it. They continue to kill it. The Rockets are looking good. Reach out for Jalen Green. We got those guys.
Oh, worst is they always get my hopes up, and then they, outside of the Astros, crush them. Like the, what was it, 2017 or 18 with the Chiefs? That broke my heart. But the best part is, man, they love this city, and they love putting on for us.
Yeah. All right, very good. What do we think? Jordan Bryan from Moon Stamp Sports. Let's give him a hand.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
You can follow him on Twitter at Moon Stamp Sports. Next up, Rock the Mic Finals, 713 Houston Sports. That comes up next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It is here. Football season is here. And your first chance to see the Willie Fritz Houston Cougars a week from Saturday, 6 p.m. August 31st at TDECU Stadium as the Cougars host the Rebels of UNLV. Head to uhcougars.com/tickets right now or call 713-GO-COUGS to lock in your ticket starting as low as $15. Moonstamp Sports will be there. You should be there, too. You've been waiting for this all summer. It's finally here. Come out and enjoy the excitement, the pageantry, the roar of the crowd. It's all back on August 31st at 6 p.m. Get ready as Houston Cougar football returns to TDECU Stadium for the start of a thrilling new era. Coach Willie Fritz, quarterback Donovan Smith, lead the charge in the first game of the year. From the marching band to the tailgates and every heart-pounding play, this is college football at its finest. Again, uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS, 713-GO-COUGS to lock in your tickets for as low as $15. Come early, be loud, and wear red.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.